This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut on every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome. Friday, you've made it all the way to the end of the week, May the 19th. Next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. The Mets are winning games. The Yankees are winning games. There's so much to get into. I say good morning to the one and only Rick DiPietro. Hello, Rick.
Hello, David. You see what I've done, right? You see what I've done.
You started the Mets heading back in the right direction is what you've done.
That's exactly what I've done.
You notice, by the way, because I am the truest sense of a friend, I didn't say, how you doing? Because I know you're not doing well. I know you don't feel well. I know you're battling, but I just welcomed you right into the bosom is what I did.
Right. I'm like Pete Alonso. I just go out and I play. That's right.
That's right. You're the Chris Bassett. You're the Pete Alonso of the show. You're not well. You don't feel well. You went to the doctor. He said, you're not well. And you know what you say? Middle finger to you is what you said. I'm going to battle.
That's what I say. I'm not going to let my guys down. The four horsemen need to be the four horsemen. And better yet, we get to talk about another Mets win.
Thank you
very much.
And the Yankees win, too. Good. How about the Yankees, huh?
Yeah, the Yankees are rolling a little bit right now.
Yeah, it's kind of working right now. Aaron Judge is, we have two sluggers right now in New York that are in one, aren't they?
Aaron Judge is a monster.
He really is a monster. I mean, every ball he hits hard. He doesn't hit like, oh, that was 311 feet home run that just kind of snuck inside. No, they're like every home run he hits are prodigious home runs now.
He hits massive shots, almost had a second one. They barely missed the second one.
Not sure how they considered that to be a home run at any point, but yes, he really unloaded on that one too.
Yeah, well, it looked like the center fielder knew it hit the top of the wall, but the way Aaron Judge reacted, like, hey, fellas, come on. Hey, let's go check that one out. Probably like that was Aaron Judge. I mean, it must be gone.
It must be gone.
And it must be gone. But when you look at what they're doing in May, man, I mean, this is how the team was set up to win. I mean, they got 33 home runs in May now, which is tied for the most in Major League Baseball. They've scored 93 runs, and more importantly, they're 11-6. So, I mean, this Yankees team, there was some concern. But, I mean, even Aaron Hicks yesterday, 3-for-4.
I know. How about
huge
that?
Huge RBI.
Big base hit, RBI, right? Pitching good, bullpen good. There's not a lot because a couple weeks ago, Yankees fans were terrified and it's all falling apart. And Fire Boone and Cashman and get rid of this guy. And all of a sudden, it's like you've righted the ship. You're fine if you're the Yankees.
Yeah, you're fine. You'll get Stanton back. It looks like everyone's favorite, Josh Donaldson, had a little bit of a setback trying to put something together at home. Sliced his hand up a little bit.
Does it, honestly, if you have Donaldson or don't have him, does it really make any difference?
No. For Yankees fans, no. No, you're happy with him. I mean, listen, I think coming into the season when everyone was healthy, that Yankees fans were, I don't want to say concerned because we always hear the cliche, you know, having all these guys that can start, it's a position players, it's a good problem to have, but you got to remember, problem is the main word in that. Like, we got to make sure DJ LeMahieu gets as many at bats as possible. So they have no problem playing DJ at third base at all.
He's a better option, in my opinion.
Right, DJ at third. You got Volpe, who had a big home run last night at short, and Gleyber. With Riz, nobody beats the Riz at first.
Yeah, Yankee rolling along, pitching has been pretty good, and Nestor Cortez, and we talked about it yesterday. You know, it was an important outing for him, and you want to take 3 out of 4 from Toronto. And to his credit, Nestor Cortez pitched a really good game for the Yankees last night.
I saw a stat last night, which was, I think it kind of speaks to how important Nestor really is and how good he was last season, an all-star last season. But so since 2021, Nestor in 51 starts since 2021, he's allowed 2 runs or fewer. No, so in 51 starts, okay, 37 of them, he's allowed two runs or fewer. So 37 of 51, two runs or fewer.
That's great.
That's solid.
No, that's better than solid. That's really, really good.
So, like, I mean, this is, again, once that, I mean, lineup isn't whole yet. Who knows? Severino's going to be back. Who knows with Rodon?
Sunday, I think, right?
Yeah, he'll be back Sunday. I mean, that's a, Nestor pitches the way we know he's capable of pitching. You already know Garrett Cole's a stud. I mean, that's, with what this offense is doing right now.
Yeah, Herman's been pretty good. You're going to get Severino back now. Bullpen's been good. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, Yankees, it feels like they were in that oh dear kind of territory, and now they've righted the ship. I'm glad you brought up Nestor Cortes. We have some sound from the lefty. Here he is saying, we've taken this team overall a big step forward.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're rolling now. I feel like we're playing really good baseball. Dugout's coming alive. We're battling. We're pulling for each other. It does feel like we're playing better baseball, and it's showing. So hopefully we continue to play that way.
And they are, right? I mean, they are. They went down to Tampa, and they didn't get destroyed. They had Tampa here, and they were able to split, and they won the first two out of three. And then they go to Toronto, who's a team. They went three out of four. Toronto's weird because you look at the pieces on Toronto, and I almost feel like they should be better than they are.
Yeah, they're a great team on paper. Like, talent-wise, you're right. I mean, that's a scary team talent-wise. And they clearly, and you saw Aaron Boone after the game, he's like, I'm just happy we're leaving. Like, he's swearing at their dugout swearing at the Yankees dugout. Like, I mean, Toronto probably feels the same way. They probably look at all the talent in that clubhouse and say to themselves, Why aren't we getting better results here? We should be just as good as the Yankees. And then you realize that you're not. And Aaron Judge, one of the best players, maybe the best player in baseball outside of Shohei Ohtani, absolutely crushes the Blue Jays.
Crushes them. I'm actually surprised. And I know that Rizzo and LeMahieu and Torres, like, now at least they have other guys, you know, Anthony Volpe. I'm really surprised that teams pitch to him, though.
Yeah, well, listen, man, I know they got a good, that he's got some protection, but I get what you're saying. It's just, I think when you're that good, I think the goal is to pitch around him and not
give
him something to hit.
But I mean, last night,
yeah, but they were saying the same thing about Barry Bonds too. But I mean, all it takes is one mistake.
But if you almost don't pitch, like, I almost wouldn't pitch to him. Rizzo's going to beat me. Glaber's going to be, I mean, you know, I don't care. If somebody else beats me, you take your hat off and you tip it to them. I'm sorry. I'm almost not pitching to Aaron Judge.
Yeah, very rarely do you see that, though. I mean, you really don't see that. I mean, you're still pitching to Ohtani. You're still pitching to Trout. Like, you're not going to have to pitch.
You
kind of
have to pitch
to
Trout because you have Ohtani right behind him, right?
Right, and then you get Stanton back. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's just that teams aren't doing it. And when they do make a mistake, he makes you pay.
And they don't make a lot of them. That's the thing. Like a guy like Aaron Judge, a guy like Barry Bonds, they'll get maybe one or two mistakes a game. And if they miss them, now they're not going to wind up doing anything. And that's why he's so great, because he rarely, if ever, misses them.
Well, and think about how many times you've seen him get screwed, too. I don't think there's, like, statistically, too, no one gets more bad strike calls, especially that low strike called against him, than Aaron Judge.
Well, because his strike zone is, it's enormous.
Well, it's enormous. They don't know how to call it because he's so big. And, I mean, you've seen Boone get frustrated how many different times?
All the time. Just happened the other day, right?
He's got great plate discipline. And when he connects, man, the ball goes a long way.
A long way. Here's more Nestor Cortes, who was very good last night. Of course, Weber came in, got himself.
That was huge.
Oh, yeah, that was the difference. All sorts of trouble. I was actually annoyed. I don't know if you picked up on this. I was annoyed at the Blue Jays fan. Because they had bases loaded, nobody out. And who was the first guy that came up with the bases loaded? Because then Guerrero came up second. Was it Belt that came up first with the bases loaded?
The lefty, yep.
Whoever it was, popped up to left, nobody scores. Then Guerrero connects Zach on Fly. One. I think it was center field, run Fly, scores, 3-2 at that time. And then Springer comes up, lines went to right. But after the Guerrero at-bat, they were like celebrating. They were so happy. We got a run. They're making noise. They're screaming and they're yelling. It's like, what do you? The Yankees would have signed for this in a second. That, to me, was clearly the turning point in the game.
Yeah, that was huge, especially when you saw how many, like, your high leverage guys not being available.
Right.
So for him to get out of that with only one run, you still had the lead. And then big home run by Volpe. And then, dude, a Abreu, that shot by Chapman down the left field line was close to being a home run. But you went with Weber, Abreu, and Marinaccio to close that thing out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. they don't really have a determined closer now. So they can just kind of use whoever happens to be available, be it Marinaccio or King. Or
it feels like it's kind of like Peralta right now, though.
A Peralta or Clay Holmes. Like, there's a lot of guys in that bullpen to choose from.
Yeah. Well, I mean, would you rather have somebody that's, like, would you rather have Edwin Diaz? Yeah, but.
I'd rather have him as the Mets, too.
Right. But, I mean, no, stop. Robertson's done a great job.
A great job. I'd still rather Edwin Diaz.
Well, it would be nice to have that.
Well, it'd be nice to have Robertson as my eighth inning guy.
Speaking of which, have you recently checked in on how hard Aroldis Chapman is throwing again?
What is he, like 104?
He's throwing absolute seeds.
He's not even the closer there, though.
He was back to throwing 100, and I've seen 103, 104.
How does that happen?
I don't know. But he's a humongous man.
Oh, you're not kidding. He's terrifying.
I'm telling you right now. He'd be at the top of the list of pitchers.
All guys you don't want to face?
Especially as a lefty, going up against a lefty, forget.
And he has no control.
That's what I mean.
Forget about the fact that he's a lefty. And forget about the fact that he's enormous. And he seems a bit crazy. He has zero control over what he's throwing.
I get hit. I'm telling you right now, I'm in the box. I get hit with 104. Forget it.
In Major League, like DeGrom, I wouldn't want to see either. But at least the guy has pinpoint control usually.
Well, he's just going to embarrass you, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. I mean, anybody would embarrass me. Anybody would embarrass anybody on the show outside of maybe you. But no, Chapman would. I'd be scared.
Yeah, it would be like the Randy Johnson situation. Remember when
was that John Kruk?
He threw it over his head.
flipped the helmet around. Yeah, he didn't want any part of that.
None of it.
You're right about that, Chapman, because that was right there. And you know what? I don't know if you feel like I can never tell. I have absolute when those balls are hit. And they're down the line, and whether they go inside or outside the foul pole, I never have any idea, unless it hits it.
Yeah, right. I have a hard time. It's because the camera angle. You can't really tell. I usually go off the reaction of the guy who hit it, whether or not he thinks it's going to be fair. But
it's got to be an announcer's nightmare, doesn't it?
Yeah, the whole thing. But I think a lot of it is because you're going off the reaction of the guy who hit it or the center fielder, or the outfielder just in general, how they react to it. But that's a nice series for the Yankees, especially with everything. If you put the whole series in context with the whole, Judge Peaky, and then how he responded to that, Boone getting kicked out, managers going back and forth, Toronto calling the league, going after Rojas at third, making sure the first base coach and the third base coach are in the boxes, them swearing at each other again last night. Must feel good. That must have been a nice...
That was a great series.
Yeah, but there's a Yankee... I mean, especially for Aaron Judge, man. Like, to be... Because, at the time we even said it, everyone's looking for that edge. What they did was not cheating. We never felt like it was cheating, right?
But not cheating, but clearly something.
Right, they found something. Good for them. The guy was tipping his pitches.
Which is fine. And by the way, for the record, we never said it wasn't okay. We just said they were doing something.
Right, but it was less about that and more about no one's buying that you were looking over into the dugout because you wanted to see which one of the guys was chirping. So the insinuation was made. Whoever decided to run with it ran with it, which for Aaron Judge is like, this is crap. I wasn't doing anything wrong. And for him to respond and the team to respond the way they did, I can't even explain to you the feeling when you beat a team that you hate like that.
And especially when they kind of get under your skin, right?
Yeah.
They're sure.
Like this annoying, chirpy team that's way too, cocky.
And who are they, the Astros where they've won the World Series, or the Dodgers where they win 100 games every year, or the Cardinals who's traditionally so good? They're the Blue Jays. What have they done? What is this team, the way it's currently constituted, done?
They're a bunch of talented guys that just haven't figured it out.
They've done nothing. This is not the Blue Jays from the early 90s when they win back-to-back World Series. This is a team that has immense talent that has won absolutely nothing.
Correct.
All right, so shut up. Here's Aaron Boone. Do you think Judge was motivated by all the chatter on the field?
I don't think so. I think he's motivated by, look, what we're going through as a team right now, and he understands we've had a tough stretch here, games every day against big-time opponents, and he understands how important he is to that.
Here is Judge. Were you motivated to send a message in this series?
I'm just trying to do my job. I was upset, but nothing I can do about that. I still got to go out there and play.
He was upset. So
well, of course he was motivated. That's crap. Aaron Boone knows he was motivated.
And he should be motivated. You were called out.
Yeah, you were called out. Tell me if you put any credence into this this little nugget. Importance of Aaron Judge and what he brings to this team. So since 2020, when Aaron Judge homers, the Yankees are 80 wait for it, and 21.
Wow.
When he homers, they're 80 and 21.
So when he hits a home run, they're winning at 80, literally 80% clip.
That's right.
Wow.
That's a big-time number, no?
Big-time number. Now, if you were like the Elias Bureau, you would figure out the same thing for Alonzo.
I can do that for you.
Well, I don't want to give you too much work.
Oh, no, I can find out. I just go to the Baseball Reference. Yada dee, yada do. I'll spend some time, maybe.
Yada dee, yada do. You yada figure dee, it out.
Bang, bang, bang.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know the way Ray and I were very tight and we talk often, especially during the commercial breaks?
Okay.
Why do you say it like that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's usually you and RJ talking about fantasy something.
That's not true. RJ, when was the last time we talked about fantasy anything?
It's probably been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so stop it. So I was talking to Ray, making small talk. I said, Ray, I said, if the Garden came to you or ESPN came to you and said, you got to give up one. You can't keep doing both. It's just too much. And your production level's not where we expect it to be. Although we do like you, you have to give up one. You know what his answer was?
He wouldn't give up. He wouldn't give up the Garden. No chance.
He said, "You might not like this answer."
Well, I mean, you have to imagine too. I mean, if money's not an issue, right? If the Garden's like, you have to give up one, but we'll make up the difference.
No. Current salary included. He said, "You will not like this answer."
He'd leave. That's about right.
You'd leave us.
Without even a hesitation.
Yeah, you'd miss us. I mean, think about how much you laugh every day for 4 hours.
I'd miss you, but you'd miss me more.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course. The Thursday Open would die. But, I mean, can you imagine if you didn't have this amount of laughter in your life? You were just buttoned up MSG Ray all the time?
Yeah, you wouldn't know what to do with all the sleep.
I'd find something to fill the void in these 6 months I wouldn't be working. Find something to fill the job and laughter void.
What are you going to go to comedy clubs? What would you do to fill the void?
A man of the night?
Maybe I will. You don't know these things.
Well, all of a sudden, you're going to turn into Deuce Bigelow, huh?
The income's got to come from somewhere.
I will say, if there were any of the four of us that could turn into like a man of the night, it would be Raymond.
Not quite sure what that means, but okay. Thank you.
I think you're very comfortable like just being out, like creeping around on your own, I think is what Dave means.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Like, hey, maybe I'll swing by the mall and grab a steak by myself.
Possibly.
Like, you've done it.
You have mall steaks?
He went to the American Dream, had a mall steak.
Yeah, I did nothing to do one day. I said, let me go check this place out. Went for a walk, and there's a nice bar in there. Said, why not?
I am not one of those people, and I don't blame these people, but I'm not one of these people that can go out to a restaurant by themselves and sit there all alone and have a dinner.
It was a bar, so...
I can tell you don't look down your nose at it at all because you keep calling them these people.
I don't turn my nose up at it. I just can't do it.
Yeah, but you're calling them these people as well.
Well, they're not my people. They're those people.
Again.
And again, this is why can't tell you anything.
What do you mean?
Because you're looking down on me for it.
I'm not looking. I just said to you I'm not looking down on you. I'm not remotely looking down.
I would have missed this part of it. I'll tell you that much.
This is why he would leave us.
I wouldn't miss any of this.
What would you not miss? The banter, the back and forth, the wittiness, the comedy, the charm? Which of those things would you not miss?
You call it being witty. I call it you're looking down on me. You think you're better than me.
He's jealous. How about that, Raymond? You ever think of that? Maybe we're jealous of you. Maybe we wish we were as secure as you are and could just go, you know what?
That's right.
I'm not a psychologist. I can't get in your head. I can't tell you what you're thinking. Only you can tell me that.
Lack of self-confidence. It's like if I sit there now, I'm one of those people. I don't want to be one of those people, so I can't do it. You can do it.
Again, those people. You're looking down on it.
I'm not looking down. If I was looking down, I tell you all the time, I'm an honesty broker. If I was looking down on those people, I would say I'm looking down at you and your people. I'm not looking down. I'm just saying I'm not one of you.
And he's that's okay. I don't need you to be one. I just need you to respect what I do and not ask too many questions.
I'm sure you've done something by yourself at some point, David.
Yeah, he spent his entire childhood.
really, RJ?
I meant in the public eye.
In his ladies.
Oh, no.
I'm sure you've been out casino on your own. Something.
Those are my ladies. Casino on my own. I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
Lies.
Why would I lie?
You've disappeared for days at a time.
No,
this is the thing that you've done.
I don't go to games on my own. No. I have never been to a casino. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever been to a casino on my own.
Hold on. Not to a casino, maybe on your own, but you did tell me that your favorite is you versus dealer in blackjack. So you would be playing blackjack by yourself.
Oh, yeah, but I haven't taken a trip to a casino by myself.
No, but you're fine just going off by yourself. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I'm okay like having a buddy there. Because sometimes you go with friends, they don't play the same games as you, or they don't play the same limits as you, so you'll go find another table. I'm fine with that. But I've never gone, like, parked at the casino by myself and taken a ticket and then, you know, been that kind of weirdo.
Here's how bad I am with this. So we always had roommates, right? Like, in the NHL, you'd have roommates. So grown men sharing hotel rooms. Which a lot of guys didn't like. A lot of guys liked having their own space or whatever. So we do a new CBA, and part of the new CBA was that players would get their own hotel rooms. I didn't like being alone so much that even though we get our own hotel rooms, I would still have a roommate.
Really?
Because it was boring. You sit in your room. I mean, it sucks being by yourself.
What, do you need someone to talk to?
Yeah, we'd watch TV, we'd hang out, we'd talk.
But not Raymond. Raymond would love having his own room.
Oh, he craved it. Think of how many roommates Gunling would have had. He'd been like, what do you mean?
That was a whole team pack into his room.
The big clubs hover, stars all look to depart.
By the way, I went out to lunch with Andrew Gunling a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Got a glorious text last night saying he had a great time and he can't wait to do it again.
Did you tell him that we play his song all the time?
I did not. But
I try every day.
That song might be one of the greatest things we have on the show.
How that song didn't
it's
win
really big.
Win Drop Madness every year is beyond me.
It's a self-creation, too.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, hey there.
RJ, how come you don't self-create some songs for the show?
Because you will make fun of me.
That's the whole point.
Big clubs hover, stars all look to depart.
That wasn't even for the show, though. That was for the podcast where it's a much softer landing spot. JJ,
yeah, but whoever stumbled upon that deserves it, like some kind of Marconi or something.
JJ, but his podcast host, much more forgiving than the two of you.
Now, that man with that name could be a man of the night. JJ Devaney.
I'm JJ Devaney.
And he wears jeggings, too. So
what is wrong with you?
JJ Devaney.
Just win, baby. You got to win everything. It's the American way.
He thinks he's better than us, huh?
RJ, I think
someone crosses me. I hate them forever, and probably irrationally.
RJ, I think you and Santiago, a little homework this weekend, should maybe self-produce a couple songs for the show.
That would be good.
I think it'd be nice.
Would be nice. Let's get to
6 to 10.
Oh, yeah.
6 to 10.
Yes. We don't get enough RJ singing.
6 to 10.
It's because these guys aren't willing to do whatever it takes.
Yeah,
they don't want to. They're afraid they're going
to. That sounds like whatever it takes to me.
Yeah, but it's only like occasional little crumbs we get.
Yeah, but
Santiago,
we want the loaf. Give us the loaf.
Yeah, we want the whole croissant.
The croissant.
Croissant. Oh, boy. Let's go to Wes, our buddy in East Hanover. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, company. You were talking about Judge being a Blue Jays killer. So that got me thinking about Chipper Jones being the Mets killer. And so I was comparing the numbers, and it is pretty stupid with the pace that Judge is on. So Chipper, for his career, he had 265 hits against the Braves or against the Mets. Judge is on pace for 254 hits. Okay, so pretty close in hits, but the power is insane. Chipper only hit 49 home runs. Judge would be on pace to hit 75.
He's already got 32 against Toronto.
I know, in 102 games.
It's wild.
It's insane, right? And so if he keeps this up, and obviously he can't keep up the power this entire career, but he has the ability to have that kind of impact against this team. That's why they hate each other so much. So I got screaming kids, so I'll hang up, but you guys have a great day.
Oh, thanks. I love it. I love the fact that they're – you know what? Baseball season's so long, and to have teams that really kind of despise each other, I think there's something really entertaining about that.
Yeah, you need storylines, man. I mean, you talk about it all the time with why you like American Idol so much, and they do a great job. I mean, they bring you behind the scenes. They give you the backstory. You get this emotional attachment.
That's right.
So, yeah, like even if you're not a Yankees fan and you watch, like you turn on SportsCenter one day and you see, you know, Boone losing his mind, getting kicked out, Aaron Judge peaking, managers going back and forth. You're like, wow, I'm interested to see what's going to happen here.
100%. And what happens is the Yankees had their way with Toronto going 3-1 in this 4-game set. And now you'd figure, now we don't know because the Mets didn't have success, but you'd figure this should be a soft landing spot with Cincinnati this weekend.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
This is the way Raymond approaches dinner time.
It's really beautiful when you sing it like that.
Thank you.
It makes being all by yourself not seem so lonely.
Well, Ray is kind of setting the groundswell of don't go with other people. Go all by yourself.
Well, he's a handsome man. He's sitting at the bar. He's giving out the vibe. I'm sure his hair was perfect.
You ever get, Ray, like you go out, you're wearing a sport coat, beautiful coiffed hair, having a steak with a little baked potato on the side, and you get sent a drink from a single woman at the end of the bar?
Raymond.
Hello.
It's a fair question, Raymond. I mean, you're clearly going on an expedition to find something.
You're
other
fishing.
Than a mall
is what
steak.
You're doing.
Yeah, you're fishing. This is
a mall steak.
This is what you're doing.
You know what? Honestly, how immature is this? Now he won't talk.
I actually didn't hear your question. What was
play
going
a song
on?
At least. Answer us in
respond
song.
Respond via song, Raymond.
I didn't hear your question.
The question was, and it was so beautifully set up. I don't know that I can set it up the same. Oh. But the gist of it was,
what
you ever
shame.
Been there, having one of your steaks, dressed up, sport jacket, maybe a sweater vest, hair to the nines, beard looking sensational, and all of a sudden the bartender walks over and says, this scotch on the rocks, that's from the lady down at the end of the bar.
I can't say that's ever
happened.
That, no,
come on, be honest. That's never happened.
I can't say that I've gone dressed to the nines as you described. And,
all right,
and
forget
that,
about the nines. Have you ever been approached by a lady during one of these solo dinners?
No, and like I said, this happened one time. It's not like this is a thing that I do weekly or monthly. I decided to give something a try. I enjoyed it. I might do it again. I don't know. But I don't have enough experience in that avenue to say that, oh, yeah, that's happened. No, it hasn't.
Are you giving out the proper vibe, though? I think you have to switch your vibe up because you're by yourself. I think you should give out the, hey, I'm very approachable vibe.
Do you wear a carnation in your lapel?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Is there some kind of loofah situation like down in Florida where if you wear a certain kind of loofah?
I'm very confused by what you're saying.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Am too. What do you mean?
Well,
isn't
no,
a
at the villages,
like a scrubbing product.
Yeah, no, I think at the villages, I think it's a loofah system. I think if you hang a certain loofah, that means you're down for.
Where
certain
you hang it?
Where are you hanging it from?
Well, I don't know if it's a loofah.
Like Flavor Flav?
Out.
Like what? What do you mean?
Well, maybe there's a pin, like a nice pin situation. I don't know. I think in the villages, it's a loofah though.
People just like put pineapples on the front door or something.
No, that's in your shopping cart. I think.
What?
I think the pineapple is supposed to be in the shopping cart. I think it's that's like a grocery store.
It's like a universal symbol, apparently.
So Vladimir probably thinks I'm in love with him.
Yeah. You keep getting pineapples from the guy, yeah.
Well, that's probably why he gave you the gross grapes.
Because he's jealous of something going on for me.
He was expecting a little something, and he didn't come with it the right way, so he gave you gross grapes. Maybe he was sending a message by snapping the banana in half.
No, that was me. I dropped my water on the banana.
It was a clean cut, actually.
Can we get to the Mets, please? So I hear all this yesterday. I mean, if they don't win the game on Thursday, the game on Wednesday really doesn't mean anything. Well, now they won the game on Thursday. Now they just won 2 out of 3 from the best team in baseball. Can we settle down a little bit? Maybe this team is heading in the right direction.
Well, you beat one of the best teams, maybe the best team in baseball.
No. You beat the best team in baseball, okay. 2 out of 3.
All right, best team in baseball. McGill gave you 6, and it seems like if your starters can give you 6+, which they haven't done a lot of, you have a pretty good chance, because when that happens, you're 9-0. So good start by him. I thought the heads-up play by Perez picking off Ramirez at first base, throwing behind him, was a huge play to get him through the sixth inning.
Because it kind of felt, and it's a good point you bring up, you kind of felt like McGill was teetering at that moment, didn't it?
Yes. That's a great word to use. We try to be as positive as humanly possible, because the season hasn't gone the way we thought. So when we get wins, especially when we start, you know, back-to-back wins and you win a series, which, by the way, is the first series you've won since April 18th.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, at the Dodgers. I don't want to be negative, but I got to tell you how I felt. The fact that Mark Vientos was not in that lineup yesterday really upset me.
I don't think you're alone. In fact, I'm certainly sitting there holding your hand, Thelma and Louise style. I mean, what? And I don't even think we've said anything negative, not one thing, and defending him to the hilt, Buck Showalter, that is. Not one negative thing this year about him. People call, blame him, 30 days, get him out of here. We've said nothing. But that to me, and it sounds like you feel the same way, is disgusting. Vogelbach has been awful. Vientos comes up, changes the game on Wednesday night, and you respond by putting Vogelbach right back in that lineup?
Yeah, with the excuse that you can't have two guys play third base. Well, no one was insinuating that you have Beatty right. And Vientos play third base, which I thought was a stupid answer, and you got snippy. But, yeah, it makes no sense. Like, Vogelbach, like, it actually makes me think that he's, because we're sitting here blaming Billy Epler, that he's part of the whole, you know, why the kids aren't up here problem. Why there's been the hesitation? Because Alvarez, I get it, man. I mean, the guy's been catching every day, you know, night game, going into a day game.
No, I didn't. That's normal, right?
Last time you saw Perez, he was what, 4-for-4?
Correct.
So you get him in there, that's fine. But to not have Vientos and then try to tell me that Vogelbach, who we just saw pinch hit the night before, and he looked at 4 straight pitches, didn't take the bat off his freaking shoulder. And then I'm sitting here this morning just making sure my eyes aren't deceiving me. So his splits in May, first of all, in May, in 15 games, 47 plate appearances, he is batting .200 with, remember, because he's an on-base guy, with a .319 on-base percentage in May. Come on, man. I don't want to hear about that. Okay,
yeah,
stop.
I don't know what to say. And in fact, not only did he make a mistake, I thought he compounded it, by the way, and you just said he got snippy and addressed the media. Here is Buck pregame defending himself for starting Vogelbach.
Why, after last night, did you decide not to do it today?
I just told you. What else?
Not really.
I think Vogelbach, exactly. It depends on, you think no, I think yes. Vogelbach is a pretty good option, too. He's good, yeah. Can't play two guys at third base, okay? Pete's a pretty good first baseman. We like him playing first base, too. So we knew when he came up, there's not going to be room every day. But, you know, he started well last night. Didn't pinch hit for him against a right-hander, could have. We'll see how it goes. You know, day to day, I know we get into that, but we like him. He'll get some at bats and see if he can continue to do it. Not just him. Same way with when Alvarez first came up. Everybody said he'll hit. Everything's different. We all take one day and make a big thing out of it. That's okay. It's good. It's a good start. We're happy for him.
You know, Buck, who I really, really like, and I think he always kind of controls the room very well, I thought, and I think hearing that, I think he sounds ridiculous.
I think at a certain point, though, and I think I've said this to you a bunch of different times, when, you know, Escobar got off to a slow start and Cano was struggling and everything else, I get it and I appreciate it. Like, I like the fact that my manager wants to give veteran guys that have equity built up, every opportunity to play and snap out of it. But, I mean, you also got to be smart, man. Vogelbach has not been good. You just saw him pinch hit. He stunk. And Vientos hits a huge two-run home run. Why not put him right back in there because he's feeling good about it? As opposed to trying to lie to me and tell me that, you know, Vogelbach's a great option too. No, he's not.
Yeah, he's a terrible option. The guy's unplayable. In fact, Vientos probably wouldn't be here if Vogelbach was the option you were looking for.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So what are you doing? And then he gets really defiant about it and very snippy about it. And, well, maybe I didn't answer the question the way you'd like. He didn't answer the question. I mean, it makes no sense. There's no way you're a Mets fan saying to yourself, you know what? Give me more Vogelbach and give me less Vientos. The game changed on Wednesday night with what Vientos did. Has a game changed this year one time because of Vogelbach?
Well, it was the two kids in that game. I mean, it was his two-run home run, and then it was Alvarez's three-run home run that got you the extra innings.
100%. So what are we doing? It makes no sense.
Yeah, I think the time has passed where we have to continue to try to protect the veteran guys. Like, I mean, you're right. We're not even talking about Vientos if Vogelbach was good. You're not even talking about Vientos.
There wouldn't be a clamoring for Vientos.
No, if the veteran guys that you're protecting weren't struggling so much and your team was winning, we wouldn't be talking about the young guys.
Of course not. Nobody would care. Now, great, rip up AAA, and if we need to use a trade option at some point, we can use that, or maybe at some point when we expand the rosters, we'll bring you up. But you're not even a thought, not even a blip right now, but you are because Pham, Escobar, Vogelbach have been so dreadful.
And Canna.
And Canna. I mean, these guys are, all of them have been bad this season.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, we're all trying to do the same thing here, and you want to tell me, you know, Vogelbach against righties and talk about his on-base percentage and everything else. I do not care what his career on-base percentage is. What's he doing for me right now? And I just gave you his numbers in May. They're not good.
You think
he comes
no,
up, hits
I
a huge
yes.
home run. No, I think no, Buck. And I defend you every day on the show. And I
all we've done is defend him. Yeah, I thought that was awful. Now, RJ puts on my screen. By the way, I need to get glasses.
I was going to say something to you the other day because it looked like you were real squinty, but...
Really?
You probably should get tested.
I'm confident I need glasses, but then I'm going to wear glasses, and you guys are going to start... You're going to make fun of me, call me four eyes and that kind of thing.
No, get a monocle then. Get one monocle.
Maybe I'll get two monocles, and I'll just go walk around with the double monocle.
I think that would... Just get glasses.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, so you're thinking I have one eye that has an issue, but not the other?
No, I think you just... If you don't want to have... You know, the full glasses, just go with the one monocle.
So you think I get glasses, I'm concerned I get made fun of. I get a monocle, and now I think everyone, like, looks at me as if I'm, like, a normal guy.
No, like a reading monocle that you just pull out when you need to read something.
That's what you think. Why not just walk around with a magnifying glass like an 89-year-old person?
Maybe go eye patch.
I would love you in an eye patch.
Pirate.
RJ, I don't see well with two eyes now. You want me to eliminate that and have one working eye?
I would just like you to look like a pirate mostly.
Maybe it's the one eye that's holding you back. Maybe we identify the weak eye.
And just double down on the good one.
Double down on the good one. Or
maybe
we cover a workout. Yeah, maybe we cover the good eye and then we work on the bad eye.
I don't think the good eye wants it bad enough.
you think the good eye's lazy. You're assuming I have a good eye. I might not. I can barely read. You know what I see? Should I read to you what I see on the screen?
Yeah, go for it.
Crap. Okay.
I don't think that's reading. I think that's dyslexia.
No.
No, it says CRAPI P1.
Oh. Okay. So I see crap.
So, I mean, it does spell crap.
It's not wrong.
Guardians scheduled to start 3. Now you're going to make it red? You're going to add color into this now? All right, crap. Guardians scheduled to start 3 right-handed starters this weekend. Will Vientos not start any of them? I read it properly, I think. It's a good question. If I don't see Vientos this weekend, I'm not going to say I give up, but I'm perplexed by what they're doing.
Why call him up?
Right?
Right, like why call him up? Like, I mean, the kid is raking in Syracuse. You want him to continue to develop. You can't call him up and not play him. If you're going to call him up, he's got to play.
Has to play. Alvarez has to play. Beatty has to play. Your guys have to play. And this answer, I mean, we can't play two guys at third base. Thanks, Buck.
Yeah, what do you owe? But seriously, what do you owe Daniel Vogelbach? Like, I get Escobar is like, I mean, Escobar has a ton of value for his leadership. I think he's a big time leader in that club, so I can understand protecting him.
And in fairness to him, he's been hitting a little more lately.
Right, but Daniel Vogelbach?
No,
come on.
Who's? I mean, honestly, if you told me the Mets DFA Daniel Vogelbach, I'd say see you, bye bye.
It would not bother me at all if he wasn't on this team.
By the way, and I know you're Mr. Stats, so I think I saw this during the game. It might have been a dream I was having, but
you fell asleep.
Yeah, I was watching the Mets game and I fell asleep. So it could, like, the 8% chance this was a dream, 92% chance this is legitimate.
So there's an 8% chance whatever you're about to say is just it has nothing to do with anything.
I don't know. It has to do with something. I'm just not sure it's accurate.
Okay.
Do you not want to hear it?
Flip that coin.
Did you have the eye patch on?
Why don't you wear an eye patch and start that you can hand out peanuts around the city? Wear a top hat.
If Raymond starts picking up ladies in his single dinners, I'll wear an eye patch.
Raymond, that's a fair
I don't
offer.
Do that.
Pick up one lady. Just one.
One lady.
By the way, there's a poll out on the Twitter. At DR on
I thought
ESPN.
We couldn't do polls anymore.
No, they're
Why
back.
Why can't we do polls?
Yeah, they're back. 65% of people have gone to dinner by themselves. So you're ripping two-thirds of people out there.
Well,
yeah,
I
but
also
have gone
I don't
to
mean,
or
I don't mean
like,
a friendlies.
Choose to go to dinner by themselves.
Yeah, I don't mean a friendlies either. I mean like a nice, good, solid dinner.
I mean, it was at the mall.
Like to Peter Luger's? Like, what are you trying to say?
You went out for a steak dinner.
It happened to be a steak dinner. I just went to a bar. That's all.
All right.
Why was Panda Express crowded?
Never been to Panda Express.
What do you mean you've never had Panda Express?
Never been.
Sizzler? Have you been to Sizzler?
Does Sizzlers even exist anymore?
I used to love Sizzler.
Oh, boy.
Was Sizzler the one that had the you could get the soft serve?
Not sure.
Or was that Ponderosa? One of them you get the free soft serve.
I think you could at Sizzler.
What was your 8% non sequitur, Dave?
Yeah, what was this? This could be a dream situation.
I'm not sure I remember.
So you can't read. You can't remember.
Oh, now I have it. Now I have it.
Fantastic.
Have you had brain trauma recently? What's happening with you?
I don't sleep. Have you done crack? No, don't be nasty. All right. So you can tell me if this is accurate or not. Since the start of the 2019 season, Pete Alonso has more home runs than anybody else in baseball.
I think that is right.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
I don't think you were dreaming.
Yeah, I think I saw it during the telecast. I'm just not 100% sure.
I think that's correct.
If that, in fact, is correct, that's a pretty impressive stat number.
Yeah, well, I mean, just go back to, I mean, what did he hit in his rookie year? 53 home runs?
Was it 53 or 52? Was the record 52 and he hit 53?
He hit 53.
Yeah. Yeah, he has prodigious power. And
He's got amazing power.
And the thing that makes it even more impressive is he's really the only one that has power on this team at all.
That's it. I mean, he is the home run threat. Although I think Alvarez and then even, I mean, Vientos too, they all have pop in their bat, but you got to play to hit home runs, don't you?
Yeah, unless they...
Because I think it's pretty clear that Vogelbach does not. He's not a home run. He's not a home run.
Which is amazing.
Hitter. At his size, yes.
Because the guy's got, and I'm not being disrespectful or anything, the guy's got to be at least 290 pounds, right?
It looks like he found the weight that he had. Remember, he decided he was going to lose some weight. It looked like he found it.
So if you're 290 and you imagine that your game is not really predicated all that much on speed, you would think that you have some pop. And he has none.
He does not. No, he's an on-base percentage guy.
It really is pretty remarkable. You want to hear from Pete Alonso?
He's hit a home run in the last three games, of course,
Every game against the Rays. He says this is on his continued hot streak despite not really feeling all that great.
No, I mean, for me, if I'm out there, I'm going to shoot my best bullet always. I always give it 100%, and for me, I just don't want me not feeling well to be an excuse for a lack of performance. So for me, I just want to approach it how I normally do and just go out there and play the best I can as hard as I can, and whatever happens, happens.
Well, average not great, but power is unbelievable.
Always shoot your best bullet. Yeah, I mean, he's got 16 home runs.
Which leads Major League Baseball.
Right.
He's phenomenal.
I mean, you know what it is, too, when you're sick a lot of the time, is that you kind of try to just simplify things. And there's always pressure, but there's almost less pressure because you don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like
slows,
the fact that
slows down a little bit, maybe.
Well, like you just you're out there. Like the biggest thing is that you're out there, and then it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel great. Like how high are my expectations for what I'm gonna feel like, what I'm gonna be like today? And then you go out, you simplify things, and usually, in my experience, I've had some of my best games when I was sick for some reason.
That is interesting.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the pressure comes off you because you kind of have like this built-in excuse that you don't feel good and the guys can tell that you don't feel good, so you're not putting all that added pressure on yourself.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what the reason is.
Or if you had like extra focus because you know you feel like crap.
Probably it's that. Or maybe you're just able to relax a little bit because you feel so crappy. I don't know. Let's go to Andrew in the Bronx. Andrew, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
My question is, do you think that tonight's game is a must-win for the Mets?
No.
Really?
Meaning a must-win, meaning what? Meaning if they lose, then what happens?
To carry the momentum, I think he means.
Well, I mean, here's what I will say. I think it's important they win 2 out of 3 in the series. Do I look at tonight's game as a must-win with a guy making a start off the IL? No.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, Andrew, is that you got Carrasco just coming back. I mean, is it an important start for Carrasco? Yeah, you'd like to see him pitch well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like, before he got hurt, like an 8 ERA or something like that?
That's terrible. That was horrendous.
So, and you're kind of relying on him down the stretch. Like, you know, I really don't want to see David Peterson ever make a start again. So, I think it's important that he shows. And I really just don't want these, like, 2 wins just fall by the wayside. And then also, too, I think McIntyre is a must-win because he's out of form.
Well, now, hang on. You can't, and thanks for the call, you can't look at all these games now as we're in mid-May and say it's a must-win. And must-win implies if you lose it, there's some kind of awful thing that happens, no? If you lose tonight, you're back at it tomorrow. I would say win 2 out of 3 and let's move on to the next series. Get yourself back to .500. Is it an important start for Carrasco? Absolutely. Is it how can you say that a game on May 19th is a must-win game?
I get what he's saying. I mean, and maybe don't call it a must-win, but it would be nice to carry this momentum. I think it's more about series than consecutive wins, especially when you got Scherzer and Verlander going in the second and third game of this series.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.